tomorrow night at Mayo Mountain Church, that Todd Smith is going to be there Thursday and Friday. And I think the services start at 7 o'clock each night. And so I encourage you to go. I know they're going to have a great meeting because I know Todd. Amen. And so we bless them in Jesus' name. And I think also in Christ that they're continuing their meeting tomorrow night as well. And so God, pour out your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. There is power, power, wonder-working power. Hallelujah. God's got power even when we don't. Somebody say amen. Yes. Glory to God. Also wanted to announce this tonight. Van was telling me that he has a table and chairs, a dinette chairs and table that he wants to give away. He says it's kind of a small set, but he says it's in real good condition. He also has a dishwasher, portable dishwasher that he wants to give away because he's having to move out of his soup kitchen over here. And so he has some stuff he's getting rid of. And then also a utility sink that he wants to give away. And then a lot of pots and pans, okay? Somebody go show us, I want that pot. Somebody say pots and pans. She didn't have enough on. Thank God. Wait till I see Tommy drum. I'm going to put it all over my lips. Huh? Oh, that's what I'm saying. They'll be there starting Thursday night. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy 28. Now come to order. Come to order. Deuteronomy 28, and we're still talking about healing. And I'm going to teach on this until I run the devil out. I'm going to tell you, this is how you get rid of it, right here, right here. And so we're going to start back into where we were last week, and we were speaking about the curse of the law. So we're going to read some about the curse tonight, not all of it, but some of it, and so that you'll understand what you are redeemed from. I think lots of times, you know, we just let the devil beat us up, put sickness on it, and when stuff comes, people just give up on you. You got cancer? Well, I'm going to kiss you bye, tell you to go. You know, you got whatever, you know, liver disease or metastatic cancer of the liver or whatever. People just kiss you and tell you bye. But I'm going to tell you, it's different in the Word. We're going to find that out tonight. Amen. So Deuteronomy chapter number 28 and start reading verse number 15. But it shall come to pass if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do his commandments and his statutes, which command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed you're going to be in the city, cursed you're going to be in the field, cursed you're going to be in the basket, in the store, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of the land, in the increase of your kind, and of the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you go out and come in, and the Lord shall send upon you. And remember that this is in the causative tense, that God never makes anybody sick. He does not put sickness on people. He does not put disease on people. He does not do that or send calamities upon people. He does not do it. It's in the causative tense. The devil does that. God allows it to happen. Why? Because people shove him away. And when you shove him away, it's like having a watchdog. Keep a watchdog out in the building, it ain't no good. You got to have him watching. Somebody say you got to have him watching. Amen. All right, verse 20. The Lord will send upon you cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that you set your hand to do. Until you be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence to cleave unto you until you have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess. The Lord will allow consumption and a fever and an inflammation and an extreme burning, and with the sword and with blasting and mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. The Lord will allow the botch of Egypt and with the hemorrhoids or the hemorrhoids, okay? And with the scab and with itch whereof thou canst not be healed, the Lord will allow to come upon you madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind grope into the darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in your ways, and thou shalt only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you. The Lord will allow to come upon you in your knees and in your legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, till to the sole of your feet and to the top of your head. Now, you know, thou wilt not observe to do all the words of the law that are written in this book. Now, that's important to get, the words of the law that are written in the book. If you don't do that, what does the Bible say? You're cursed. You're cursed, okay? Then the Lord will allow your plagues to be wonderful, your plagues to be upon your seed, and great plagues in the loins, and long and continuance. Those things will continue on. And then verse number 60. Moreover, he will bring upon you, or allow to come upon you, the diseases of Egypt. Remember that. Which you are afraid of, and they'll cleave to you, and every sickness and every plague, listen, which is not written in the book of the law. So every curse and sickness that was in Egypt that people dealt with, and every sickness and disease that was not in Egypt. All right, so that covers them all. Somebody say all of them. All of them. All of them. Which are not written in the book of the law. Them will the Lord allow to come upon you until you are destroyed. We can see from these scriptures that sickness is a curse. All right? It's a curse. Somebody say it's a curse. And remember, I want you to understand, as we said last week, and I want to bring this out again, that it's in the causative tense that you understand. When you understand the character, the nature, the purpose of God, you know that if God brought sickness and disease upon people, he'd be the devil. Amen. He doesn't do that. He doesn't send that kind of judgment on people. When people sin, when people push God away, it opens the door for the devil to come. You better believe that the devil wants to put it on you. Amen. He wants to put it up on you, all right? And so, as we talked about last week, there are many other verses in the Bible that are written in the causative tense, and we're not going to take the time to go into those tonight because we covered those last week. And so, all God can do is when people sin or rebel against him, they tie his hands. And like I said, the devil, he's ready and willing to come in and put anything upon you that he possibly can. And also he does it when we're ignorant. My people, Hosea 4 and 6, what does it say? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You need the knowledge of the word. Especially right now, you think in this hour that we're living in, that's why the devil had such a heyday with COVID and churches shut down and so forth. And they really shouldn't have done that. It should have stirred on the word. Somebody say the word. But if you understand tonight that when you push God back, the devil is willing and ready to come with anything that he can plague you with. He wants to put it on you. And when you do not have the knowledge of what the word says, all right, if I don't have knowledge of what that word teaches, I'll receive it. Well, my great-granddaddy had it. My mama had it. I had everybody in my family's died from it. It's been passed down to me. And, you know, that's what we call the spirit of inheritance. All that stuff, you know. How many knows that's a lie? It's a flat-out lie. And the religious spirit really pushes that. It really does. Really pushes it. So we want to learn to stand on the word. Everybody say stand on the word. Stand on the word. So listen to what he says. So pestilence, consumption, tuberculosis, fevers, typhoid, inflammation, smallpox, extreme burning, skin diseases, itching, madness, blindness, all those diseases. I don't know about you, but I ain't taking none of it. I'm not taking any of it. Somebody say, I'm not taking it. I'm not going to take it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So one of the things that we can do is when we read through that curse of the law and read through those scriptures, we can conclude that from those scriptures that sickness and disease are part of the curse of the law. Everybody look at me. Say, it is. All that stuff Pastor just read is part of the curse of the law. Amen. It's part of the curse. God does not want you tolerating the curse. Somebody said, why does sickness and disease come? Well, I think they come because we don't practice our healing. And we need to develop our faith. We need to become convinced that this stuff that our ancestors have told us that God does to us, he does not do it. And when this stuff is ingrained in a person's soul, everybody say soul, their mind, will, and emotions, when they're in their mind, will, and emotions, when this is ingrained in an individual, and you look back at your family line and you see all these people that have died from these same diseases and all this stuff has came. We're talking about poverty too. Just throw it in there as well. And it's just passed down. It's passed down. It's passed down. If you know something like that is in your family line, you need to draw a line and put the blood there. And you say, devil, I want you to know that I'm not ignorant of your devices, and I understand that all that stuff written in Deuteronomy 28 that is called the curse, I am not going to receive it. Why? Because Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Somebody say amen. So when you read that verse, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, that is the first step in your healing. Somebody say the first step. The first step, the first step. So we are redeemed. Everybody say, I am, because of Jesus, because of his blood, because of his redemptive act, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Why? Because he became a curse for me. He became a curse for me. He became the cancer in your family. He became the tumor in your family. He became the liver disease in your family. He became, you know, all of the diseases, heart disease, diabetes, every arthritis that you can think of, you know, all those things, neuropathy, all the disorders and diseases that there are in the Bible, every condition, you got to understand, Jesus became that for you. Get this picture in your mind. I told you this before. In that movie, The Passion, when Jesus went to the whipping post, you have to understand the extreme that he went to heal you. That's why I would recommend that you watch the movie, sit down and watch that and think to yourself, now, wait a minute. If he took that beating for me to be healed, then I'm certainly not going to insult the blood that he shed right there. I'm going to put him first. I'm going to believe him first. I'm going to stand on the word, and I'm going to bring it into the courtroom of heaven. I'm going to tell the Father that's his promise, and I'm also going to let the devil know. I know what this says, and you have no business in my life, in my body, in my family, or anywhere else in Jesus' name. It also has to do with our children. Amen. Somebody say, bring it and bring it hot. So this word redeemed that he uses, Christ has redeemed us from the word from the curse of the law, is exegorazo in the Greek. And it means that he has delivered us, that he has set us free from, that he has taken it from us, that he has lifted it out of us. Amen. But if I don't stand on that, now listen, some people think and believe. Now, if you have your faith developed to that point, that's great. But most people don't. The first time that you quote it and you're sick and you've been attacked with the flu, you've been attacked with COVID, you've been attacked with cancer, you've been attacked with whatever, and that comes when that thing initially hits you, it comes hard. I said it comes hard. And it is meant to knock you off your feet. It's meant to shake your faith. Amen. I said it's meant to shatter you. And so you have to immediately turn to the word and say, okay, devil, you have no business in my life with this. And I'm telling my body right now to reject it in Jesus' name. I am healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. I am healed. Somebody say, I'm healed. Every joint, every bone, every drop of blood, every red and white blood cell, I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Somebody say, amen. And so exegorazo, I am rescued from the cancer, from the heart disease. I'm rescued from the tumors. I'm rescued from the osteoarthritis, the rheumatoid arthritis. I am rescued from it. I've been ransomed from it. Somebody paid a price, is what that word means. Somebody bought my healing. Jesus bought my healing when he went to the whipping post. With every lash of that whip, he paid the price so that I could have health, so that I could be healed. Glory to God. Let's just take a few moments now. Say, Jesus, I just thank you right now. I am the healed of the Lord. By your stripes, I am healed. Thank you for redeeming me from the curse of the law. And I give you praise right now. I say to you, body, line up with God's word in the name of Jesus. Devil, get up the road in Jesus' name. I am healed by his stripes. Amen. So we need to know that the Lord wants us healed. That's why I say when you see that movie, that's one of those realistic things that I've seen. You know, if you go back and you study the Greek and you read about the whipping and that Roman whip and all that happened, the flesh that was yanked off of his body and opened those wounds up that you could see inside of his body. He did that. Every stripe. Somebody say every stripe. Every stripe. So God's word tells us, listen, sickness is a curse. Read through those curses. Because I want you to know something. When you read through the curses, you understand there's not one thing in that curse that belongs to me. But when we read that curse, we're going to find out if anything in that curse is working in me or in my house, in my lineage. You have the right to go back and cut that off in your family line. Somebody say amen. You do. So God does not bless his people with sickness. The devil wants to bless people with sickness, but God doesn't. Remember, disease is broken ease. Broken ease. You should be able to work your job, and you should be able to come home and feel good. You should be able to kick your feet up. You should be able to sit down and enjoy your supper, your dinner. You should be able to enjoy your family without having put up with some foul devil putting some sickness on you in Jesus' name. Amen. Because sickness is sickness. Think about this. Sickness is pain and suffering. Pain and suffering. I can't stand it when I see somebody. I can go down the road, my God, if somebody has hit an animal, I get messed up. I feel it in my body. I think about that little animal, that little squirrel, that little rabbit, that possum. Yuck. All those deer. Now, you know, if you're a hunter, my God, if you're going to kill it, eat it. What about what? I just said possum. You're not listening. Tell her, yes, I did. Amen. I can't tell. I have never ran over one with my car. I have never ran over one. Okay. Sickness is a thief and a robber. Okay? Sickness is a thief and a robber. It robs you of precious time that you could use spending in God's presence, use reading the Bible, use spending time with your family, use doing something you want to do. Amen. Somebody say, we do need breaks. We need fun times. We do. We need getaways. Amen. It's not about just work, 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 work. Because if dis-ease is dis-ease, broken ease, then God's telling you something's robbing you of your rest. Amen. Think about what the scripture says in the book of Hebrews. He said, I swore that they shall not enter into my rest. And it boils down to them not mixing the word with faith. And see, I want to mix the word of God with my faith and say, Father, I thank you right now that I am covered by the blood and I am healed by the stripes upon your back. Amen. So it robs us of peace. It robs us of life. It robs us of happiness. It robs us of money. Money. It's just like when some people work overtime or they get a little bit of money, the devil comes along and gets it and makes you give it to the doctor. Mm-hmm. Amen. Do you like doing that? Do you like giving money to the doctor? Well, you better learn how to fight. You better learn how to stand on that word. It's just like this. You're going to take that medicine that doctor gives you, and my wife will tell you, I despise medicine. You'll take that medicine that doctor gave you, you will, and you know you'll fight to do it, fight for the right to do it, but you know what? We very seldom fight for the right to quote a scripture. and speak what the blessing says and say that I'm redeemed from this. And devil, you don't have any business putting this on me, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. 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 See, because it robs us of not able to give Jesus the best. It robs us. It robs us. Somebody say, yes, it does. Amen. Fills people with anxiety, fills people with fear. That's the devil. Somebody say, yes, it is. Torment. Mm-hmm. Sickness and disease rob people of happiness, joy, peace, health, wealth. All these things. It does. It does. You know, I would advocate tonight and encourage you to understand that God in heaven sent his son so that you could have health, so that you could be healed. He went to that whipping post so that you could have that. Somebody say, yes, he did. God does not want us under the curse of the law. He doesn't want anybody under it through ignorance or any other way. He wants us delivered from it. Somebody say, praise God. He wants us blessed and whole. Somebody say, yes, he does. He does. So tonight, I want to say to you that lots of us have been robbed. We get robbed every time. I'll tell you, I went to the doctor Monday. I'm on antibiotics right now. And I'm like, you know, God healed me of my sore throat. Bam. But my chest was tight, and I was speaking the word. And I said, I'm just not going to put up with it. Amen. And so I'm on antibiotics. What did I rather have? I'm still saying I'm healed by his stripes. I'm healed by his stripes. I understand that any time that I'm taking a pill, I'm giving something away in my body. Because the stronger that we stand, the better off we are. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because you think about in the scripture, you know, when God is speaking to us, he has provided healing. He provided healing under the old covenant. But the scripture says that we have a better covenant built on better promises. Somebody say hallelujah. I mean, if God healed people under the old covenant and you see miracles happening there, but God comes along through our redemption, he says, look, you should be able to walk in this health. It belongs to you. Somebody say it belongs to me. This covenant that he's given to us works. Somebody say that it works. It's worked. It's a better covenant. Listen to what Hebrews 8 and 6 says. Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry in that he is a mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. Wow. And so he's telling us, this speaking directly to the curses written in Deuteronomy 28. God says, look, this covenant that I've given you through Christ Jesus, he said, it cannot be broken. This covenant that I'm giving to you, you need to understand that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for you. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus went to that cross for you. Somebody say, yes, he did. Yes, he did. And so in the Bible, everybody say in the Bible, when you read through the New Testament, one of the things that you find is that over and over and over again, the moment that Jesus shows up and he enters his ministry, people are getting healed left and right. Everywhere he goes, he speaks words, his shadow, everything. Man, I'm like, boom, bam, boom, bam. People are receiving healing. Why? Because he's the will of God incarnate. He's the will of God in the flesh. He's the word made flesh. Somebody say amen. This ought to be a key to us. Everybody say, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Say this with me. Say, the Bible says in the book of St. John, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Somebody say amen. 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 Jeremiah 30 and 17, I will heal thee of thy wounds. I will restore health unto you. So God is telling us, he said, the word will heal you if you get it. Proverbs chapter 4 says, if you find it, it's health and healing to all your flesh. It's life to those who find it. Health and healing to all their flesh. Somebody say, yes, it is. Now, when Peter went down and preached to Cornelius' household, Peter said in Acts 10, 38, listen, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, listen, and healing some and healing almost everybody and healing. Everybody say all. Shout it out. Say all. Say devil. He heals them all. And I'm healed because I am in all. Amen. See, this is important to get this right here. That's in the Bible. This is the covenant. This is what Jesus paid for. This is why he tells us this in Acts 38. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. This word oppressed comes from the Greek word that means that devil that is exercising dominion over. He's not supposed to have dominion over believers. Huh? Remember in the garden when Adam sinned, he forfeited that dominion that he had. Gave it over into the hands of the devil, but Jesus came and died on the cross and shed his blood to do what? Break that dominion and give it back to you. Somebody say, he gives it to me. In Matthew 28, Mark 6, in the Great Commission, he does that. Listen to the words that he says. He says, behold, I give you all power. I give you authority over all the what? Power of the devil, the enemy. All power over him. To do what? Bind him, cast him out? Somebody say yes. Tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil because God is with us. Somebody say God is with us. So listen, this word oppress, healing all that were are oppressed or under the devil exercising a dominion over. Man, this ought to open your eyes. It means to exercise harsh control. And man, I'm going to tell you what. I've been asked some hard questions by people, about people said, do you believe God will heal that person? And some of these people are famous. You know the names if I would call them, but I just want to stay out of trouble to get attacked enough. But I said, yes, I believe they can be healed because that person said, God wants me to stay this way so that I can bring him glory. Honey, you can bring God a whole lot more glory by being well and giving your testimony how he healed you. Amen. It's more powerful to raise the dead than to heal a cripple. Somebody say amen. Amen. They both have a testimony. Amen. Listen, to exercise harsh control. The devil gets great joy when he's got people crippled up, beat down, doped up, strangulated, emasculated, all these things because he's having power over them and against them to cause his will to be done. And there are untold millions that are in that condition. That's why when you go overseas, the first thing people will know, did you see miracles? Honey, I have seen more miracles in America myself than I've seen when I go overseas and minister. Because I believe God for miracles here. Here. Because I tell God, I say, God, I appreciate all those miracles you do overseas, but I want miracles in America. I want you to open the blinded eye, unstop the deaf ear, do creative miracles, make the lame to walk, the dumb to talk. I want you to move. I want these devils cast out. I want people delivered from drugs without residue, not a 15-step program. I want them delivered from transgenderism without residue. I want them because you watch this. The religious spirit, as soon as one of them gets delivered, they're going to run and say, look, we want you to have counseling. You can go through counseling for 15 or 20 weeks. And I appreciate all that. I know that there are people that get set free and they go through counseling. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a God who has resurrection power. If he can create a womb in Sarah and give Abraham the ability to procreate at 100 years old, and if he can tell him Abraham to slay his son and step in because Abraham knew that he could raise the dead, our God can heal people and deliver them without residue. And I'm telling you, believe God for all of it. Amen. Believe it for all of it. Remember that we said it's all inclusive when you get saved. That word soteria, when you get saved, when you get sozo, when you get salvation, you also get healing. Somebody say hallelujah. And so the devil loves exercising harsh control over people. And so this is why Jesus comes, and he looked at that woman we talked about last week, had a spirit of infirmity for 18 long years, and said, this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, should have already been loosed from this her infirmity, whom Satan has bound. He pointed that out. This daughter, lo, whom Satan had bound, this woman should have already been loosed. What was Jesus saying? Amen. My God, you mean you put up with this devil all this time? You're a covenant woman? He's telling us that if you learn to stand on that covenant, because he knew some things about her evidently. Somebody say, yes, he did. Amen. And he said she should have already been loosed. Now, I want you to think about this. We're born again. We're new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. And I believe when a person gets born again, that right there's a place that they can get a miracle and be healed. People baptized in water get healed. Amen. If you confess Jesus as Lord, shouldn't you be healed? Why? Because the oppressor's kicked out. Say, he's kicked out. He's kicked out. He's kicked out. So we're born again. So that dominion which was lost in the garden comes back to us. I'm a son of God. Man, I rank a lot higher than the devil does. Amen? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 2:14, and then in Ephesians as well. But listen to what 2:14 says in Hebrews. He says that in that God has destroyed the one that had the power of death, that is to say the devil. God took that dominion from him, stripped him of it. Somebody say amen. And then in Ephesians, he says he's delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We're sons and daughters, man. We walk on a higher plane, on a higher level. And God, I really truly believe that we're getting ready to enter into something in this earth like the world has never seen as far as the church goes. I believe the church is going to step into some supernatural power and authority. Listen. One of the marked things about the Antichrist is as he performs lying signs and wonders, he does miracles. He's going to be able to persuade people. Well, how much more should the Church of Jesus Christ, the bride, be able to do the genuine miracle power of God operating in this earth before that Antichrist ever gets here? He can't come until we're gone. Somebody say amen. Amen. So Jesus went about doing good. The moment that he entered this earth, he began to set captives free. That's who he is. That's what he does. Somebody say, Christ in me, the hope of glory, the hope of glory. Amen. Now, it is never God's will for anyone to be sick. Never. Everybody say never, 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 never. It's never God's will. Oh, God put that on them because they've been bad. Have you ever been bad? You ever talked about anybody? You ever had a bad thought about anybody? Oh, then you know better. Amen. Think about this. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. If he did that in Acts 10:38, and if he did that while he walked this earth 2,000 years ago, and he hasn't changed, he's still doing it right now. Through you. And through me. Somebody say yes. See, but if your faith in the carnal realm is stronger than the spiritual realm, you're not going to get it. You got to exercise your faith. I said you got to exercise your faith. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Somebody say renew your mind. Renew your mind. You got to, you know, it's just like, you know, in the scripture, and especially in Joshua chapter 1, we talk about meditating in the word day and night. David talks about that, meditating upon the word of God until it became a fire burning on the inside of him. And so the scripture tells us that over and over again, especially through the book of Hebrews and things that Jesus tells us about confessing, telling, talking to mountains and all this stuff, you know, that we are to live in that kind of a authority. Amen? Amen. So in every instance where God or Jesus encountered sickness and disease where people were concerned, he delivered them. And his character, his nature, and purpose are still the same. Somebody say, he's still the same. He's still the same. He's still the same. And remember that Jesus walking in this earth is the will of God in action. I said it's the will of God in action. You have no business being depressed. That is the devil exercising harsh control over you. You're sad. You're depressed. Nobody loves you. Well, that's a lie because God does. If nobody else did love you, God does. And that's all that matters, really. Because he's going to get you to heaven. And if the devil had his way, he'd want you to be miserable on this earth every single day that you're here. But God wants you to be full of joy and peace. Amen. Amen. Jesus is the Word. Somebody say he's the Word. It became flesh. Listen to this. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. Surely Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I don't feel like it. By his stripes, we are healed. Remember last week when I was telling you about the yeoman's woman? Her and her sister opened up that home for terminal cases that the hospitals had given up on the people. Some of them were going to be dead within hours and some within days. And they would take them in. And simply remember the woman last week that we talked about that they took in who was terminal, and that they gave her Galatians. They went in first of all and started reading the scripture over her. Nothing happened. Then they kept every day, read the scripture over a couple of hours. And then they told her, said, look, I want you to read Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for me. I want you to read it. She read it and read it. She says, I don't understand it. I don't feel nothing. Nothing's changed. Said, keep reading it. Keep reading it. And remembering that story that just a few days later, they heard a big commotion upstairs and she came down the stairs running. I got it. I got it. I got it. See, it takes a while to sink in. You have to deprogram yourself to get reprogrammed what the word says. You got to catch it. Somebody say amen. In Matthew 8:17, it quotes a portion of this verse out of Isaiah 53, and it says that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet Isaiah himself, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He's looking back. That's what the scripture said. Look back to Isaiah 53. So we're talking about Jesus working miracles, healing the sick, setting cat, all this stuff that he's doing. And it says, they said, look, this right here, this is who he is. This is what he does. Somebody say, amen. So the Holy Spirit, now looking back on Calvary, spoke and wrote this in 2 Peter, okay? Who himself bare our sin in his own body on the tree. Remember, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He bore your curse on the tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. I like that. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness by whose stripes we were healed. Somebody say, I was healed. I was healed at the whipping post. I was healed. Say, I'm whole in Jesus' name. Now I want to share this with you. This is powerful. John Alexander Dowie shared how he received the revelation of healing. And we're talking about a guy here, nobody's sick in the city. I mean, he had such faith in God. And so he was a pastor of a congregational church in Newton, Sydney, Australia. And this was during the time that the bubonic plague hit in 1875. And so people were dying like flies. I mean, they were dropping dead everywhere. And Dr. Dowie had already buried about, 40 of his members in less than a month. That's heavy for a pastor. And there was no cure for the bubonic plague. Nothing. They were watching these people die by the hundreds, by the hundreds. And so after visiting many of his members, one day he returned home, and as he was sitting in his study, he began to weep before God. And he began to cry because he was so heavy. And he said, God, is everybody going to die? Is my congregation going to die? Is there no cure for this, God? You know, are you going to take everybody? See, he even had that mentality. Are you going to allow everybody to die? Father, are you? Where did this plague come from? That's a good question to ask. This is what Dowie asked God. Where did this plague come from? Because he was so heartsick. Because of all the families that were being torn apart by this plague and all the misery and the pain, families separated, children left fatherless, mothers and fathers left without their children, you know, all the orphans that had been created out of this. And he said, then the words of the Holy Spirit began to rise up in him, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were hard-pressed or oppressed or under that thing of the devil. For God was with him. And he said, like a radiant light, it began to rise up in him and shine. And so he said, it revealed to him that Satan was the one defiling people and that Jesus was the healer. John Alexander Dowie had to figure that out himself. And he's was a powerful man of God in his time. He had to hear it. And so we're not above him. What I'm telling you is that we have to understand, we got to own this thing. It's not enough to read it. I have to own it. I've got to have the revelation of it. And that's what he was after. And he got it. Somebody say he got the revelation. And so he said, man, his tears were just wiped away when he got this revelation of the Word of God. And Dr. Dowie said, my heart became strong and I saw the way of healing and the door was open wide to me. Wow. And I said, God, help me now to preach this word to all dying around me and tell them how it is. And just a few minutes later, two young men came running in breathlessly, and they came in and they said, screamed out, Mary is dying. And he ran down the street after these two young men, and he entered the room where Mary was, and she was in convulsions. And he said the doctor, the physician, was there, and that physician was a member of his church, and he had just given up on her because she was dying. And so, you know, he was rising from Mary's bed, the physician was, and as he did, he looked at Dowie and he spoke these words, aren't God's ways mysterious? That's a religious devil. But by and large, I want you to understand, that's what the church has in it. And see, what we want to do is reverse that. I want you guys to be empowered and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. If I go out here and pray for people, they're going to get healed. Not maybe. Not maybe. John Alexander got the revelation. Ain't going to be no maybe to it, honey. Smith Wigglesworth said, ain't going to be no maybe. Hunger for it. Desire it. And say, God, you've given me hands. You said, lay these hands on the sick and they'll recover. He didn't say, you know, they'll recover from a runny nose. He said, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Is that what he said? So we like to divide it up. We like to look at the easy cases. We don't want to mess with the hard cases. But see, the movers and the shakers are the ones that say, I don't care. Bring me the cancer. Bring me the tumor. Bring me the death. I want to lay hands on it because I want to see God's glory manifest. I want to see this. And so Dr. Dowry's heart was still burning from that revelation that he got from the Lord Jesus, and he, you know, that he had received from the Lord, and he thundered back at this man. It reminded me of Smith Wigglesworth and the way that he would react. He said, how dare you to call this God's ways? Sometimes you need to offend people. I said, sometimes you need to offend people. Amen? Why do you think Jesus put him out of the room and prayed for them? Look at somebody and say, I'm about to offend some people. I'm going to offend my family. Oh, listen to me. My God, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know, my mom and dad were Pentecostal, and I had, you know, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I believed the Bible. I lay hands on everything I get my hands on. And people were receiving, people were getting healed, and so forth. And a lot of my family members didn't like it. I had one aunt that she was kind of involved in the New Age. I said, let me lay hands on you. And she let me lay hands on her, and I prayed. I said, I want to show you God's power. And I laid hands on her, and the power of God came on. She went, I said, you felt that, didn't you? I said, that is God. That is God's presence. So he thundered back, I dare you to call this God's ways. No, sir, this is the devil's work. And that's the way we need to treat it. Somebody say amen. So he challenged the doctor. He said, well, can you pray the prayer of faith that saves the sick? And the physician looked at him and said, man, you're too excited. You need to get out. You're just too excited, Dowie. You're too excited. And Dr. Dowie said, excited is not to describe the anger and the hatred that I have toward this foul destroyer, this disease which is doing Satan's work. Come on, somebody. It is not so, he cried. No will of God sins such cruelty. I will never say God's will be done again. Not when the Bible tells me that it is God's will to heal. Somebody say amen. Furious at Satan's attack, you know what he did? Dowie went and prayed the prayer of faith over Mary, and the convulsion ceased instantly in Jesus' name. And God healed her. Somebody say hallelujah. My God. And so my desire is this. You know, I believe God is getting us ready, because the next virus that comes down the street, we ain't bowing no knee to it. We're going to rise up and get this same anger toward the devil and toward sickness and toward disease. But we got to get it now. We can't wait till it hits. We got to get it stirred up now. The Bible says stir up the gift of God that's in you. You got to stir up hatred toward your adversary and toward this enemy and toward this foul thing that the devil wants to do. We say, not here, not now, in Jesus' name. I believe that Jesus, somebody say, I believe Jesus is sending me. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, so send I you into the earth. And listen to this. After several minutes, Dowie awakened Mary because he remembered something. He remembered Jairus' daughter after Jesus had healed her, and that Jesus had said, give her something to eat. And so this is what Dowie said. He said, Mary, are you hungry? She said, yes. He said, feed her. Because she's healed in Jesus' name. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. So he commanded her to be fed. Listen, he never lost another member to the plague. Does that remind you in the Bible when the plague broke out in Israel and they ran out with a censer and swung it? And between death and life, and the plague was stopped. Somebody say hallelujah to God. See, that's what we need to do. Our censer is prayer. Our censer is speaking the word of God. Our censer is standing there between us and death and say, death, you're not coming here. You're not coming here. If something were to happen to one of us sitting here tonight, we have to, even if death is trying to do it, we have to believe that he's the risen, resurrected Savior, and that he raises the dead through the power of his name. Come on, somebody. And that he heals his people instantly as well as progressively. But somebody say, man, when old death has got a hold of you, you need a miracle. And so we have to walk in this kind of faith and keep ourselves stirred up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Man, I used to, you know, well, I still do. I love laying hands on people. I try to give other people opportunity, because if it was for me, I'd be screaming and yelling and laying hands on everything that's out here. I'm just telling you. And so I'm just, sometimes I think, my God, just dive in here and start screaming. Amen. the devil is hard of hearing. Amen. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's a telltale sign if a person's not bold in their praying. Yeah, I believe that God can hear a whisper. But I believe a telltale sign of boldness is that you got an elevated voice. Why? It's like this man said, Dowie, you're too excited. You're too Pentecostal for me. You're too charismatic. You're too stirred up. Say, no, I've been baptized into fire. And the problem is I know that's a devil, and I ain't putting up with it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. And see, we have to. We want to get that stirred up. We want to walk in that in Jesus' name. Because lots of times we pray low because we're intimidated and fearful. What people think. Look at somebody say, who cares what people think? They already think you're weird anyway. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together tonight. Father in heaven, I just thank you right now that you sent Jesus, who has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Cursed is everyone that has hung on a tree. He took that curse and he broke it off of my life. I am free from it. And I thank you tonight, Father, that through Jesus and those stripes that were placed upon him, I am healed and your people are healed. And Father God, anybody that gets sick and we lay hands on them are healed because of what you did. Lord, I just thank you right now that I believe that you're going to baptize your people in Harvest Worship Center with boldness and fire. Father God in heaven, that they're going to have the itch to pray. To pray the prayer of faith over the sick and exercise their faith and boldness toward you, Jesus, because they appreciate everything that your blood purchased and bought. And Lord, I pray right now, God in heaven, that over the next few days, even tonight, that they'll have supernatural encounters. Encounters, Lord, to set the captive free in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to move in the name of Jesus, Father, through us. Give us words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Lord, we pray for that gift of faith, the working of miracles, gifts of healings, Lord. We pray for discerning of spirits. We ask you, Father God, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. God, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I pray for boldness to come out of that. That boldness begins with our worship. Because, Lord, if we boldly worship you, we're going to boldly go in your name. So, Father, I pray, have your way tonight, God, as people go forth, Lord. I pray tonight that every person will be healed. I thank you for healing David Kroll. God, we speak that word of life over him in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, we just thank you, God, for it, Lord. We pray, God, help him in his faith. And we thank you, God, that we can lift him up in ours. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you want prayer tonight before you go, we'll pray for you. Is there anybody? If not...